Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold hosting ACATA, the Ancient Science of Sahaji, and it is Saturday evening, 6:30 p.m., October 31st, 2015, on the East Coast of America. And I welcome everyone to the show this evening. It's a pleasure to have you with us on the last day of October. And I have an especially warm welcome for the leader of this very ancient teaching, ACATA, and that is for Sri Kadafji, the Mahaji, the 973rd Living Sarosha Master, who is with us every week. And we are very graciously happy that Sri Kadafji is here to give us not only the basic fundamentals about this teaching, but he goes into some of the deeper esoteric spiritual aspects of the teaching as well. So each week there's some basic information, and I promise not to use that word one more time this evening, some of the fundamental information given, but then additionally to that, we're enlightened with aspects that we have not heard before. So Sri Kadafji, with that very, very long introduction, I apologize for being so lengthy. I do welcome you here tonight. How are you?
I'm fine, Leslie. It's your show, so you're entitled. I had a question for you starting out. Is the last day of October in America, isn't that called Halloween?
Well, I've heard tell. Yes, and from the numbers of people that I've seen out in costume, not just children, adults all over the place today, I would guess that it is Halloween. And I know there's a background to that, because I remember reading the background in The Golden Bough by,
Fraser.
Sir, what Fraser? What's his first name? I couldn't remember
James
that. James George Fraser.
Yeah,
I remember. Do you remember the background to Halloween?
Probably not. Go ahead. It has something to do with burning witches in effigy or something.
Yeah, I don't know. That was a rhetorical question. It wasn't a rhetorical question. I actually couldn't remember. I think it is something that developed with burning something or other, and I don't know if it was haystacks or something, but then it just went further. And it's not something that we really need to talk about this evening. Everybody can get on Google after the show and research that if they're interested. I'm more interested in talking about this very ancient spiritual path because Sri Kadafji, as you know very well, and many of our listeners know and many others do not, you are the 903rd living Sarosha Master in a long line of unbroken spiritual masters called the Order of Viragi. And you can read a little bit about that on our introduction to this show. So who is the Order of Viragi? Who is the Order of Viragi? And how did,
It's actually 973rd. You skipped that 7 again, but it's all right. It's sort of a thing, I guess.
I did say it, but it drops out on the air. I said it, but sometimes I know it sounds like I missed it, but I think it drops out on the air for some reason. Folks,
but only three times in 10 years, not bad. I guess we're doing it.
Okay, who's the Order of the Viragi? Tell us about the Order of the Viragi and what you have to do with them.
Well, it's the ancient order of the Sarosha Masters that is a group of them over a long period of time that from the first living Sarosha Master from aeons ago, because the present number of 973 goes back to 3100 BC. So it doesn't include just the 973. It includes the Viragi Sarosha Masters group. Yeah, that order goes back to before the dawn of time in terms of the eras that come and go. So there's an ad infinitum membership of masters. And that means anybody that's above the 10th initiation on the path of ACATA. And so this order is a very powerful group of spiritual beings. And that's the long and the short of it in terms of that, the Order of the Viragi, which has again, any initiate above the 10th plane who's considered a Srosha master. And that's also the third goal on the path of Akata, that when we talk about the basic fundamentals each week, we talk about that as the third major goal of Srosha mastery and entering that order of Viragi, which is a great opportunity and very special event for the individual in their life. All right, having said that, the path of Akata is for spiritual liberation, God realization, and this mastery that I just talked about. And that the liberation, first level, is self-realization at the fifth plane or fifth dimension, if you will. And that means that the essence of man, which is the soul, that the light and sound within us, that sound current, which we can experience at a high electrical pitch within us, is very important. So once we get the proper identity as soul, this sound current, that is at the point that can be liberated, in essence. In other words, man has a soul, mind, and body, but the mind and the body are dropped when one learns of the essence of soul when they leave this physical arena. Or in terms of the mind worlds, or this, it's more or less the psychic worlds or the planes of duality, are the first four lower planes. We have the physical, astral, causal, and mental planes. And those are the lower planes below the fifth region of self-realization, or that first plane of spiritual liberation aforesaid. Now, another way to look at that is the center of the human being as soul, the sound current, and the sound is the light heard, and the light is the sound seen. So that twin aspects of spirit, the word spirit, that is the derivation of the word spiral, and then spiral is a derivation of the word sraosha, which if you look at the word S-R-A-O-S-H-A, we'll see the sra and the sha within that word, which is sra is a higher Sanskrit word for sound, and the sha is a higher Sanskrit word for light. So in the word itself, sra o sha, we have the sound and light. And essentially the o is the conjunction and, or the center. The center would be the o, which is the circle of, which cannot be measured, and when non-border is the plane of the no-thing or the highest God in Akata that we call Akshar, A-K-S-H-A-R, Akshar. And at that point in the fifth plane is the important part of the teaching of Akata, and we call the definition, four definitions for Akata are a pathway, science, or teaching. It's not a religion, not a New Age teaching, not a metaphysical teaching, a cult or occult. It is simply those four definitions, teaching, science, path, or way, and none other. And therefore, when people try to tag us to religion, it's just simply wrong. It's not that at all. And when we talk about God, we talk about it not having an exclusive on the Supreme Deity. The Supreme Deity just is the divine it, the neutral state, the cessation point, the great beyond or void or whatever you want to call it. But the key to the whole thing is, and that I say, is the state of consciousness. When the atheists condemn everything to obliteration or annihilation and no thing and there's or nothing, I always point out, but don't forget, there's a consciousness, you see. So that really puts them off and does put them in a place of trapping in consciousness. For us, consciousness is a superb, wonderful place because we know we have our reality and individuality for eternity in that state of consciousness. So it's a very good thing to know that if we're beyond and this grand power, that this power is eternal and conscious and one, if you will, within the individual. So we can relate to atheism in terms of the way that religion declares an anthropomorphic God on some kind of throne, some kind of physical mental state or something. It's pretty messed up because it's an image, it's a picture, and not necessarily a powerful consciousness. And as I've often said, we're fortunate because we teach about the fact that we have a twin senses for eternity. We have sight and sound. We actually can see and hear for eternity in those two senses. That's a consciousness state, eternal consciousness state. So when the religions talk about merging all this into a great void and we're not conscious, is completely ludicrous, and we know it is. Just like some of the New Age religions talk about, we're a big collective, we all think alike. That's a nice, warm, and fuzzy idea, but not true. As we laughingly said a couple of weeks ago, Leslie, after hearing a New Ager talk about that Course in Miracles, where they all want everybody to be the one consciousness, right? And everybody feels that's really nice, but not true, correct?
No, it's not true. We're individuals. So you have our
right.
Individual consciousness.
And so the best we can do there is to be a compassionate sounding board. See, now we can be compassionate for other individual consciousnesses, but we never merge together. We are separate. But the whole idea is that what do we do with the supreme deity? Well, I often say the monotheism and polytheism is simply that it's more like we're consciousnesses on the side of each other. And I use that analogy of a great puzzle, the big 1,000-piece puzzle, and each one has an individual border that's like in calculus. It's a mood swing. It's not the same. You know, it's not the same border. So it shows the individuality. And then it kind of hooks into the borders, and you have a big picture of the puzzle. So it's a great analogy for it. And then we see that the oneness has multitudes of consciousness to create the one. So that's why I say, like a big mirror, if you look in a mirror, you can't see individual consciousnesses. But on the other side of the mirror, you have all these people looking out from the mirror as the eyes being the mirrors of the individual, mirrors of soul, not the windows of soul. It's the mirrors of soul. It's a reflective type idea in the relativity of curved space. And so the whole idea is that we're one in spirit but individual. So it's a real paradoxical thing. Trying to sort it out in language and logic, that's why we all reverts back to the sound current, the pure essence of the Srosha in sound, and then the closest relationship in syllable would be the Hu chant, the H-U. So when we chant Hu, that really links us up with the sound current, and that is a great experience because we can feel it. We can feel the essence of the spirit and hear the essence of the spirit so that we're in the proper identification level. And then you can have that grand experience. See, we can do all the complex communication and talking and verbalization and oralization and discussion, words and all that business, but ultimately we can feel it and hear it. See, there's a great beauty in that. So that we run the vast range and dynamic of being supremely intellectual and then being extremely idioglossic or childlike in terms of just having a great grand experience of hearing the sound current. It's a really beautiful thing. So we can run a great dynamic with that. And that's why in ACTA, you can be a physicist or you can be an abstract artist or something. It doesn't really matter what particular subject or practice you have in your life. It's a matter of being a ready soul. We talk about, we appeal to the ready souls in ACTA, the one that it's not a riddle to them. They can hear what we have to say, and they can experience it too. And then I often ask you to take us to a huge chant, and if you would do that right now, then we can actually feel this upliftment if people are willing to participate at home or wherever you are in listening to the show. If you'll participate in the huge chant, then you'll feel this elixir of spirit, which is really uplifting and very ecstatic. So, Leslie, if you take us through, I would really appreciate that.
Sure, I would be happy to. And the reason we use the word Hu is because the Hu, each word has each plane has a particular word that is associated with it. And the 10th plane, the plane where one does achieve spiritual mastery, has the word Hu. So Hu is another name for God, actually, were the human, the God-man. And the vibrations of the heel were so high that it really just disperses any kind of negativity that might be in the area just by using this, whether you use it on the inner or the outer. And that's why it's the perfect word to use when you're doing a spiritual exercise. So a short version of that, just to hear what a huge chant sounds like, let's relax, take a deep breath or two just to relax ourselves, sit comfortably with our feet flat on the floor, or we can be sitting in tailor fashion if that's more comfortable. But we want to be relaxed, and we want to put our attention on what's called the third eye, that spot between the eyebrows just above the bridge of the nose. Some people also know it as the tis or till, and that's one of the higher chakras, and that's why we use that focal point. So we want to put our attention there gently and close our eyes, and then we're going to take a deep breath or two, and it sounds like this. You. Contemplation by ourselves at home. We're going to do this for 30 minutes at a time on daily, every day, which covers us for a 24-hour period. It gives us spiritual protection, spiritual balance for that time. So it's a very important thing to do. So when we're doing that, we don't have to necessarily chant during the whole time. We can chant a few times for a few minutes, whatever we're comfortable with, but that really dissipates the negativity that might be in the area. And we should be in a quiet place in our home, earplugs if necessary, if we can still hear some traffic noise or noise from exterior or whatever. And this is very important for us to do that, because this is what facilitates an individual's spiritual unfoldment. And there are three goals in ACTA: self-realization, God-realization, and spiritual mastery, as we have aforementioned, and that will help us to get to those goals more diligently and in a straight arrow manner. Sri Kadavji, would you like to add something to this?
Well, thank you for taking us through that, because it's a very special experience to have the huge chant. It's also very relaxing and quiet. It makes people gain an element of equilibrium in their workaday life, because we know how the frenzy of the daily work can be very overwhelming sometimes. And the hecticity, that was a word William F. Buckley coined years ago, one of his neologisms, is what we deal with, and especially in the Western world and internationally in the physical plane, or the earth plane, I'll say. And therefore, by doing the daily 30-minute contemplation, and we mentioned 30 minutes because it's really the minimum requirement to get the proper vibrational level on a daily basis. Plus, when one enters the path of ACTA, and the membership is free, all the books are free, seminars are free, there's no cost or anything, no hidden costs or contributions or donations. When one steps onto the path, their karma is halted at that point and then worked out in terms of resolving it. In other words, you don't make any more karma, you resolve the karma. And how that's done is by having the knowledge plus doing the daily contemplation, and under the tutelage of the living Sroshtra Master, the time, he will take he or she, the Chila, the student, on the inner planes of the dream state and work out all these images from past lives. There's what is known as an Adi Karma, is the original karma that one had in the previous incarnations, maybe back millions of years. So you can see there's a lot of karma buildup that needs to be resolved in one lifetime. That, therefore, what takes place is the dream state is stepped up quite a bit. And there may be a lot going on in the first couple of years in one's dream state to work out all the resolutions of the cause and effect of the karma. And that's really the path of Akata, is to resolve one's karma and lead a dharma life on a daily basis. The dharma would be the karmaless life. And then when one comes to Akata, you'll find that we have information that nobody else has. But then the irony, we've often laughed and talked about it, that only 1% can hear that valuable information. In other words, we have information, for instance, like the word God, which is an acronym for a glimpse of the divine. We have that information, and the ready soul is so amazed when they hear the information, but then the 99 out of 100 never hear it. Isn't that, that's always funny, isn't it, Leslie?
Yeah, it's interesting, but there are a lot of people that are ready to hear it. That 1% is quite a large number in the view of the world population.
Well, there is a paradox in terms of when people hear the shows, and even if they're not a ready soul, they can hear this great enlightening wisdom, but then they're rebuffed by it because they think it's egomaniacal or something of that nature. And that's all right. I mean, usually there is a negative reaction to people that are uninterested or just can't hear all the words, or they're ingrained in whatever they're doing. And that's fine. We're not here to compete with anybody. We're here to present the basic fundamentals of the path of Akata, the ancient science of Sahaji. Sahaji being, as we said, the out-of-body experience in the higher Sanskrit language. And people ask us, well, why do we use the higher Sanskrit language? And I say simply, because it has no connotations, and it's really the child's gibberish when they're born, because it is a language, okay? It's a higher vibrational language. It's an uplifting language, and that's what the path of ACT is about. Is about uplifting energy that we can feel on a constant basis, you see, because the idea is to have one's feelings intact when they come to the path of Akata, and then those feelings are upgraded or uplifted even further. And that's the interesting part, is we don't condemn one's feelings or emotions, but what happens if one's emotional, extremely emotional, they'll gain a balance. For instance, there is the five passions of anger, lust, greed, attachment, and vanity, and those become learned in a moderate level. We can use things in moderation, because being human, each one of us can experience one of those aspects of one's life, but then the five virtues of contentment, compassion, patience, aesthetics, and nobility, the direct opposite of the passions, come into one's life quite naturally by doing the daily practice of contemplation. In other words, we have introductory books and books in Akata that one can read and study, but nobody's going to take written tests or examinations. It's a natural state. It comes to you because one is already there and gifted within the experience of soul, the experience of the sound current. And that's the most important part, because once we revel in the sound currents, we revel in the self on the inner, then all things come to us. So there's not a rigorous study necessarily. One can do what they want. I mean, you can memorize the intro book if you want to. That's up to the individual. But you find that there is an ease or a sensitivity to spirituality within one, because the spirituality is what we've all sought, what we've always been. And so there is an element of coming home and feeling a security, if you will, in spirit. And that's very important, because we've always been there. But what happens is when people are just passing through in that 99 out of 100, we were talking earlier about that the 1%, the 1 in 100 is the ready soul. What happens to the 99 out of 100? They're passing through and they're not getting it at this present time. But they will in the future. See, that's what the path is here for, the 1%. And once the 1% come, there's a maximum of 10% in any sort of proximity venue, if you will. But the other 90% are pretty much gone, if you will, and we'll have to go into another lifetime to either get to the path or maybe in a future time. It's not important from that standpoint. Our importance and our presentation is for the ready soul. Would you like to add anything to that, Leslie?
Yes, because it is, as you said, it's for the ready soul. So the individual that is a ready soul knows when the timing is right for them. And if anyone does think that they're at that point, then they can certainly reach us by going to our website, Akita, the Ancient Science of Sahaji. It's under akita.com, I believe. And you can go to the website and you can download a free application for membership if you think that the time is right for you. And if it's just something that you think that you're not quite there or you want more information, there are many books on there that you can download for free. As Sri Kadavji said earlier, we don't charge for anything on this path. We believe that spirituality, your spiritual unfoldment, is the most important thing, and there should be no material barrier between you and that happening. Also mentioned that in November, Sri Kadavji will be speaking on November 17th at 6:30 p.m. His last talk at the Greater Philadelphia Central Library, which is located at 1901 Vine Street in Philadelphia. So that's the Philadelphia Central Library, 1901 Vine Street, room 108, and that's at 6:30 Tuesday, November 17th. As we said before, there's no charge, so it's free to come to. It's a wonderful opportunity to meet the Mahaji. So, and this will be the last talk that's scheduled there this year. So feel free to join us if you're in the Philadelphia area or would like to make a journey there as well. Sri Kadavji, I'll turn this over to you. We've got about 3 minutes left.
Yes, I think that one thing we wanted to add was that each one of these planes we're talking about, once one steps onto the path of Akita, there's an initiation level for each one of the levels, and the initiations are really unlimited. And we did talk about the goals, and the parallel to initiations are the 5th, 8th, and 10th initiation in self-realization, God-realization, Srosha, and mastery, respectively. So those initiation levels are very important because it's sort of the kudos of raising one's consciousness as we go up the ladder in the goals on the path. And it's a very important reference point to know that one is making achievements, really and true achievements, not some country club or some sort of trophy or award for a sports accomplishment. It's not like that at all. It's true revelation within one in his initiation levels. One feels like once they've stepped onto the path that they really get true entitlement and true awareness and movement and spirit and proper gain, if you will, in spirituality. So it's very important. The initiation levels are reflective of the so-called awards, the mundanity that's in the lower planes that takes place about some sort of silly physical achievement that is evanescent. It doesn't last. But in terms of higher level initiations, when one gains self-realization on up into mastery, these things are eternal, albeit people say, well, don't masters fall? Sometimes they do, but it's an ironic state. The irony of a master failing is a very rare situation. And for those masters that have come to the path and left Akita, they're just declared rogue masters. It's a phrase that we have to declare in physical logic, but it's sort of a degraded title, if you will. And that happens because people come and go on the path. Presently, we have a few thousand members and perhaps 25 masters presently on the path. So when we talk about masters... Yes, we're getting down to the last 3 seconds.
I apologize. Yeah, we've only got about 45 seconds. And if people want to read further, they can download that free introductory book on the website if they'd like to, and also join us for the talk in Philadelphia, November 17th at the Central Library. I do thank everyone for being with us this evening, and I'd like to turn this over to Sri Kadavji to say goodbye.
I am always with you. May the blessings be Baraka Bishad.